This episode of the Children's Literature Podcast is brought to you by Berry Picking in the Woods with Your Kids. Berry Picking in the Woods with Your Kids. It's exactly as nice as you think it is. Welcome to the Children's Literature Podcast. I'm your host, TQ Townsend. This episode is called Ethics and Physics in The Crow and the Pitcher. Quality, not quantity. One good turn deserves another. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Honesty is the best policy. Look before you leap. Birds of a feather flock together. Misery loves company. All of these phrases are thousands of years old, and we have them because of an unbroken chain of storytellers who recognized the universal wisdom of a guy from ancient Greece named Aesop. Well, maybe. But I'll get to Aesop in a second. First, I wanted to tell you about History Calling, a YouTube series I've been following for some time. The woman who created this channel has built a really great collection of videos that address a variety of topics, although she tends to focus on the Tudor period of England. I think children from ages about 12 and up would really benefit from watching episodes of History Calling as they present interesting, accurate information in a way the general public can understand. These videos are also a lot of use to anyone teaching history because they can be used as good examples of what sort of claims historians can and can't make when presenting findings. You can find History Calling on YouTube and Instagram at History Calling. Aesop is what you call a semi-historical figure. There's lots written about him from an early time, but no hard evidence can be used to prove that he was a real man who lived 2,500 years ago. Stories say that he was a slave, a freedman, or a government bureaucrat. Some say all three. Some tales claim he worked for Croesus, king of Lydia, and that he had to travel around Greece as an ambassador, often being tapped to settle disputes. The legends say that in order to persuade both ordinary people and their rulers to behave better, he would tell his famous fables, which focus on moral behavior and making wise choices. The historian Herodotus was born 80 years after Aesop's death, and he traveled to a lot of the same cities Aesop was said to have visited. It's possible Herodotus could have met someone who saw Aesop, or whose parents or grandparents did. But whether or not he really lived and really authored all of the 700 fables attributed to him, it's impossible to overstate the impact of Aesop's fables on world culture. The playwright Aristophanes refers to Aesop in his work, and when Socrates was in the slammer, he passed the time turning fables into poems. Shakespeare certainly would have studied Aesop's fables as a child, since they were a standard part of the Renaissance curriculum. For centuries, and in many cultures, Aesop's fables have been considered essential reading for children, being carefully translated and transmitted by the ancient Greeks and Romans, spreading widely through the Middle Ages, and being read all over the world today. The key to the fable's power is the simple way they reveal human nature. These stories have something to offer you no matter what language you speak, when you were born, or where you live. They've survived since the mythological times before history because they manage, with astonishingly few words and characters, to cut through to basic ethical principles. There's a lot of animals in the stories too, which kids are going to like. The Crow and the Pitcher is one of my favorites, not just because it has a really wholesome moral, but because it also very elegantly teaches the scientific principle of displacement. On a very hot day, a crow flew along, growing desperate with thirst. Suddenly, her eye caught upon a glinting flash down below, and she saw a pitcher sitting in a garden. She happily flew down to it, hoping to find water inside that would quench her dry throat. But she was dismayed to see that only a little water was in it, and her beak could not reach down to the bottom of the pitcher. She stuck her beak in again and again, twisting her neck this way and that. But as hard as she tried, she could not drink a single drop. The crow refused to give up. Instead, she thought and thought, examining the pitcher and her surroundings, until she came up with a plan. In the garden, there were many pebbles. The crow hopped about, gathering them one by one and dropping them into the pitcher. It took some time, but the water slowly rose to the top as each pebble dropped in. The crow was then able to drink, and so she saved her own life. From this tale, we learn that necessity is the mother of invention. You've probably quoted the moral of this story, necessity is the mother of invention, many times, but did you ever know where it came from? Well, now you do. This story teaches children that life is often difficult. Things go wrong. Opportunities can seem out of reach. In response, we can give up or wait to see if someone else will come along to magically fix things. Or we can put on our big kid boots and work the problem. Nobody comes to save the crow in this story, which is how most of life's difficulties will be for all of us. But the crow doesn't pout or give up or whine. She also doesn't just rashly spring into mindless action, which could have ended in results just as bad as quitting. Instead, the story says she thought and thought until she came up with a plan. The crow's actions are in harmony with a proverb every ancient Greek kid would have heard a million times from their teachers and parents. Pon metron ariston. This phrase is even older than Aesop and means everything in moderation, or moderation is best. If the crow had acted without thinking, perhaps kicking over the pitcher or attempting to use her wings to pour it out into a cup, it's likely she would have lost all the water without getting a drop to drink. If she had chosen not to act by giving up on any effort at all, then the water is still lost to her. Instead, she prudently takes a moderate path, taking action, but only after pausing to consider her best option. The crow's patience, resiliency, and creativity are traits that we should encourage children to embrace. Of course, not every problem can be solved alone, and it's important to both give and ask for help when it's needed. However, a child should be left to figure out problems he or she can solve independently. Our kids can only learn how capable and clever they are if we allow them to struggle a little sometimes. This will help them to be confident and properly proud of themselves, as well as helping them understand that success in life will be much more likely when they try to solve their own problems first. I love children's stories that have a multidisciplinary angle. I just discussed The Crow and the Pitcher from a philosophical and ethical framework, but it also works as a biology lesson and a physics experiment. When reading this fable, I wondered if a real crow would actually behave like this. Crows are pretty clever animals, capable of solving problems and even doing simple math. Modern researchers have demonstrated that crows are able to plan for the future and even understand the relationship between cause and effect. In 2014, a group of scientists took 6 New Caledonian crows and performed tests based on this fable. The crows did learn that if they dropped pebbles in containers of water, the water level would rise. Humans don't usually understand the concept of volume displacement until they're 5 to 7 years old, so this shows how intelligent crows truly are. The study was called Using the Aesop's Fable Paradigm to Investigate Causal Understanding of Water Displacement by New Caledonian Crows, in case you want to check it out. Reading the study made me wonder if, 2,500 years ago, Aesop was sitting in the shade one hot summer day. Maybe he saw a clever crow get at the precious water at the bottom of a jug left forgotten on the patio by dropping in pebbles from the garden. Then he was the one who shouted, "Eureka!" and ran inside to pen the story. Who knows? A lot of principles of physics can be difficult to teach to children. This story presents a great opportunity to demonstrate volume displacement in a way that even preschoolers could somewhat grasp. After telling the story to students, you could present a pitcher with a little water in the bottom. I recommend using a clear container, with something unbreakable being preferable to glass. You can mark the water level using a bit of colored tape or even a post-it. Your kids can then gently drop in whatever waterproof objects you like, stones, toys, marbles, and the children can see firsthand how these things push the water up out of the way. If you like, you can mark the water positions after each object is dropped in, noting which ones push more water upward. If you're teaching older children, the fable pairs nicely with the story behind Archimedes' principle, which is a law of physics. Archimedes was a scientist who lived a few hundred years after Aesop. He last served King Tyro II of Syracuse, a city on the island of Sicily. Today that's part of Italy, but in the 3rd century BCE, that was Greek territory. The king had sent a lump of gold to be worked into a crown, but he worried that the goldsmith would rip him off by shaving off some of the gold and blending in a little silver in a way that nobody would notice. So the king asked the biggest smarty pants he knew, Archimedes, to figure out a way to test the crown to see if it was solid gold or not. This was a tricky problem because Archimedes needed to test the crown without damaging it. He was mulling the problem over as he got into the bath and then suddenly observed how his body pushed the water level upwards. The volume of water that was displaced was the same as the volume of his body when it was pushed downward. Gold is very dense, meaning it's pretty heavy for the amount of space it takes up. Silver is less dense. So if you take a block of gold and a block of silver that are exactly the same size, the gold block will weigh more. Think of the weight difference between a block of wood and a stone that's exactly the same size, and you get the idea. Archimedes figured out that if he submerged the crown in water and measured how much displacement occurred, he would know the crown's volume, how much space it took up. He could then weigh the crown to get its mass. If you divide mass by volume, you can learn the density of an object. Then all Archimedes had to do was weigh a block of pure gold with the same volume as the crown and repeat the math. If the two calculations of density were the same, then the goldsmith was an honest man. Archimedes was so excited that he leaped out of the bath and ran to the palace, stark naked and shouting, "Eureka!" which means, "I found it." Archimedes ran the experiment, which caused no damage to the crown. And it turned out the king was right about that sneaky, cheating goldsmith. Silver had been mixed into the crown. The story doesn't say what happened to the goldsmith, or if the king wore the crown anyway, but perhaps a fun extra credit assignment could involve recommending an appropriate punishment for the embezzling craftsman. I've created some printable pages that will help you teach the story of the crow and the pitcher, as well as perform some related science experiments with your students. There are also writing prompts encouraging students to consider the moral value of the proverb, "Pon metron ariston." Teenagers in particular might save themselves some trouble by contemplating the virtues of moderation. I've also created a video that you can find at my YouTube channel that tells the story, emphasizing the scientific principle of displacement in a way that even very young children will be able to understand. Very few works of literature remain popular decades after they're published. Only a precious few are remembered centuries later. This is because most literary creations are somewhat difficult to relate to outside of their cultural, historical, and linguistic context. Aesop's fables have stayed with us since the time of myth and legend because they address the most essential traits of humanity. Some of them are about overconfidence, as we read in The Tortoise and the Hare. Others are cautionary tales about antisocial behavior, such as in The Boy Who Cried Wolf. Some remind us that every person has something valuable to contribute, as is told in The Lion and the Mouse. Aesop's fables are so elegantly simple in their construction and so universal in their principles that they will just keep weaving their way through time, offering moral guidance to any child who reads them. The Crow and the Pitcher will teach the young scientists in your care not to give up when they're stopped by a problem, but to go patiently to work until a solution is found. That's a timeless lesson that even we grown-ups can benefit from. You've been listening to the Children's Literature Podcast. Please subscribe and give the show a rating. Send comments to letters@childrensliteraturepodcast.com. I'm your host, TQ Townsend. Thanks for listening.